Welcome to the One Within All to another episode of Interverse Podcast. I'm your host, Chance, and I hope you're having a happy Pi Day wherever you are, even though by the time this cast reaches you, it'll be a later date. With the emerging springtime vibes, I think most of us north of the equator are feeling the urge to start looking ahead to decide what seeds we ought to be planting now, both in our gardens and in our personal lives, so that the powerful energy of the spring and summer can be most effectively utilized for our needs, our creative endeavors, and our spiritual development. Recently, I've been thinking about nonlinear ways of experiencing time, because the cycles of nature and their eternal return seem like a truer and more permanent feature of our reality than our one-way trip through that pattern does, even though the straight line is how our minds conceive of our story. The problem with experiencing this birth-to-death continuum in the manner that our internal operating system of language frames it is that it's easy to project our well-being onto the future, giving up the potential for health and coherence in the now by sending it up the time stream to become a problem for our later selves. The way to break out of this kind of dissociative chronology is to consider that how you feel now and how life is now is the way that you will feel and the way that life will be in the future, with the recognition of the present moment as a fixed and eternal state that only shifts its future sense when our present selves change from within. Instead of waiting for the perfect reason to make energy-enhancing shifts, realize that your future and your present are not separate. One flows in and through the other. And when you really understand that, your selves across the timeline become a more perfect circle in which the sense of wholeness can just click into place. And just what does that have to do with our topic and our guest today? Well, for starters, let me introduce a friend who probably needs no introduction, the great Michelle Lundquist, vibe ranter extraordinaire and legendary herbalist who has taken a more recent turn towards teaching about holistic health options for pets, cats in particular. Having spent many years fine-tuning the foundations for a flourishing feline through caring for her own cat companion, Michelle is now spreading the gospel about preventative remedies and herbal medicines to help others enhance their own four-legged fitness regimes. With pets, it can be even easier to ignore or set aside for a future day the addressing of indicators that they give us about their changing needs as they age. And rather than continue living with the foreboding inevitability of something going more drastically wrong, only increasing with each complication, I wanted to do this podcast to encourage you to take steps now so that both present and future can coexist in a state of harmony and health so we can all get as many purrs and pets as possible. Check out Michelle and her podcast at michelleshealinghome.com and her YouTube channel of the same name, and peruse her ever-updating list of current concoctions and medicines. And now let's get into this terrific parlay with the Empress of Herbal Energetics and my good friend, Michelle Lundquist. Welcome back to Interverse.
Oh my goodness, Chance. You hear my snaps? Wow, that was a beautiful intro. I really appreciate all that. I'm so happy to be here for many reasons, to hang out with you, to talk about cats and pets, how we can incorporate herbs and natural remedies and just kind of common sense into their lives, you know, kind of in the same way that we do for ourselves. I always think about it in the way of, If you're taking the steps to better your health through using herbs and natural remedies and just nature in general, why not impart that on your pets too? Because they will benefit just as much as we do when we start to turn our attention onto more natural ways of living, kind of like how our ancestors lived and the people before them. You know, they tuned into the earth, they used what was around them, they listened to their bodies, and they were very attentive to the seasons. And I think animals in general, because they're such vibratory and beings, and I feel like they are tuned into the earth and the cycles a little bit on a different, deeper level than we are, we can learn from them as well about our health. And that's one of the beautiful things that I learned by caring for our cat for so many years in this way. He taught me so many things about plants, you know, and vice versa. So really happy to bring this to your audience. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I really like how this can just be one more part of your overall toolkit of awareness that, like any relationship in our life, it's a practice and a mirror for attention and witness, right? And so the more that, you know, the more that we put off the signs that or the communications we might be getting from our pets, and especially, I know it's probably not a lot of people in this audience, but especially with the attitude of like, oh, they're just an animal or something, you know? I think that actually is an indicative of us putting off witness towards ourselves as well. And this language of communicating with the pets and knowing what they need and what they're displaying and what they're telling us is something that I think brings us into a more complete communication with all of self and all of nature. Because how it is like you put filters up to one thing. Well, that filter is there for other things too. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with it. It's something I'm trying to really invoke in myself. That's why I'm talking about it so much, but to just quit ignoring what's in front of us, because the more that we do that, even if it seems like little things, the more ignorant we are in general as like a percentage, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I too have been in the same boat, and maybe it's in the air or something. There's a lot of energy swimming around. We're just coming up to a solar eclipse that a lot of people are talking about. There's a shift in all sorts of things happening. Crossroads are a big topic in our home right now, of feeling like being at crossroads. And I think that when we come to those times, it's the most important time to be present, because you're at a crossroads. You're about to make decisions. You're about to choose a direction, you know, and you can always go back and choose a different direction, I suppose. But I think when we're trying to move in certain directions, the more present you can be, the better the outcome is going to be. And this is very much about what we're going to be speaking about with the pets too, because, you know, for me, presence was key with our cat, Carl. A little bit about my story and how I even started to incorporate herbs was I was beginning to study herbalism, and I started to learn that you could use herbs for pets as well. And our cat, Carl, who he passed last May, he was 18 years old. He was my wingman. He's right next to me here on my desk in picture form, but he's swirling around. I feel him all the time. He's always rooting for me. He's pushing me in the direction, actually, of presenting this information more publicly, because it's something I've wanted to do for years, even while he still was here with us in the physical. And it was like, he is just like, Mom, go, please help the other cats, help the other pets. So, yes, Carl had some asthma, and he had upper respiratory issues that kind of became chronic. And once I started realizing and learning about plants that were good for your lungs, for asthma, for releasing tension that's held in the chest and stuff, I made a tincture for him. And it was actually one of the first tinctures I made. And we started to give it to him, and we started to notice it was working. And so I continued on the journey of learning more about how I can incorporate herbs into his daily life. And he benefited in such a huge way. And we saw it happen actually really quickly. And that's one of the other things too, where that can happen with people as well. Like, you can take an herb and you can feel it almost instantly, or could start working overnight. But with animals, I've found that they respond super, super well to plants. And I think it has maybe something to do with that vibratory thing that I was talking about in the beginning of how they are on a different level on that sense. And so we started doing that. And then I started, you know, researching diet. What is a better diet for a cat that has chronic or chronic issues that continue to come up, you know? So we switched them from dry food to wet food. We did that slowly. You know, we did all these things kind of slowly, just starting to incorporate things in, and just little by little, he started improving. Everything about him improved. You know, he was anxious. A lot of the times he had like his belly where he would like, he was licking the fur from his belly. So he had a bare belly at the point when I started introducing these things, and slowly but surely he was resolving these issues. And it was just like, well, here we go. It's proof is in the pudding. So I think that most people too, who maybe have tried this themselves, have also experienced it too, that it works pretty quickly with the pets. And it's very easy to do once you start to pay attention and once you research what will be good for your pet. And that's like the key too.
I love that. I mean, you're saying that part of what initiated you onto the path as an herbalist, naturalist, is working with your pet. That was like a big key that got you doing it for yourself.
It was a huge key, because wow. I was still an herbal apprentice. I was working as an intern at an herb shop. Like it was very early on in my journey when I started learning about it. And they had a really great book, and the title is escaping me right now, but it is a book about veterinarian care. Aw, who's this right here?
Well, Gandalf is here.
Gandalf. Oh man, I know I've seen you in Vibrance before. You're hanging around.
Gandalf is, and not to interrupt, but you know, he decided to make his entrance. Gandalf is probably 12 or 13.
Oh, he looks good.
Yeah, he's just like a kitten. He looks like a baby face. I'll try to hang out in my lap for a while.
Nice. Yeah, no. So it was really cool, because they had a really great book at the herb shop, and it was all about, you know, herbs for pets. And so I was really drawn to that right away, and just wonderful formulations and things like that. So, admittedly, so I was kind of, he was a little bit of my, little experiment too. You know, I can say that, because I just really made sure to research the herbs really well, cross-reference what's safe for a cat, what's not safe for a cat. That's key, even for your own selves. Just always do your own research. Don't take my word for it of what may have worked for Carl may not work for your cat, may not be safe, depending on if they have pre-existing conditions and stuff like that. That all needs to be taken into account, just like you would be doing for a person. So just a disclaimer there. But I concocted I called it no more coughs, meowser, tincture. That's what I called it. It's on my altar right now. It's like, I still even have the bottle, the original bottle. It is such a huge part of my herbal journey, because it really motivated me as an herbalist to discover how broad this wonderful study goes. And it can help so many people, places, things, animals, you name it. And so it was really a motivator for me in a big, big way. And it got me so excited. And so then I just continued, you know, adding things into his life. You know, I would make him tea. If I made tea, if it was a safe herb for him, he would have tea as well, you know? And so there was little things like that that I really tried to do, and it really helped a lot. And I oftentimes found too that he was attracted to certain herbs in the garden. And, for whatever reason, he had a fondness for rosemary, but rosemary also makes sense for him because it can be good for moving things. So he had a lot of congestion in the lungs. So he just was drawn to rosemary. He would go outside and we had a few bushes and he would always go to it right away, and he would just sit by it. He would smell it. And I find that was something too, that you can pay attention to, is like, is there a plant that your pet constantly goes towards? Well, it might be something that they're wanting to learn more about, or maybe they want to tell you, hey, look into this so that you can look into it for me.
Oh, really enjoying having a cat on the lap during this conversation. So with Gandalf, actually, he's a good example for segueing to this question. Years ago, he was actually pretty young when it happened. I went out of town and left him with my mom, and At that time, he started exhibiting signs of having a urinary tract blockage. And so that ends up being a pretty severe thing for a male cat. Can be deadly. And my mom got him to a vet and they were able to help him out in the emergency situation. The sad thing is Gandalf has a long memory and holds a grudge. So my mom, if she ever comes around, he hides from her because he associates her with the time where he felt really sick, even though she's the one that saved his life. Sorry about that, Mom. But at the time, the vets, they prescribed this, and I wasn't anywhere near, I would have still taken myself to a hospital or a doctor at that point. It's a long time ago. Crazy how fast things change. But he basically was prescribed this science diet, they call it, that they told me he needed to eat this very specific and kind of expensive and only available through prescription and at certain places they can fill the prescription, this diet, or he's going to have this problem again and again, and it will just get worse every time, yada, yada, like, ooh, scary. And for a little while, I followed that, but eventually I just switched to a better quality of food and like organic food and wet food and adding water to his food. And I watched him for signs. What made me start adding water to the food was that sometimes he did look like he had a little bit of like irritation, you know, licking his business and all that, but adding the water to the food. And then that stopped happening. And for many years, he's been completely free of UTI or obstruction, which even when he was on the science diet, he actually had it happen again one other time. My point being, I don't know how much we can trust the veterinary system generally. And I wondered, apart from, you know, emergency intervention, what amount of veterinary involvement do you think is even necessary or prudent?
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, because it's a scary experience when that happens. And good thing your mom was attentive, because yeah, those situations, especially male cats, as you talked about, can get pretty bad really quick. They can get they usually get crystals in their urethra, you know, and that will be a blockage, and then they won't be able to urinate at all. And good on her that she just knew that she needed to do something. And yes, the whole veterinary medicine rabbit hole is a lot like our allopathic Western medicine stuff on our side for humans. A lot of the same thing, a pill for every ill, we'll just band-aid it up and we're not really going to get to the source of it, because
probably they can get away with worse stuff.
Oh yeah, they really can, because it goes back to that whole thing about the animals, like not being able to tell us verbally. Yes. Do I believe that we can communicate with our pets? Absolutely. Do I think that there's people out there like Catherine O'Shea, shout out Catherine O'Shea, animal communicators that can tap in and really listen to your pet? Of course. But when it comes to just everyday stuff, they can't say, hey, my pee-pee hurts, I can't really go right now. They can't tell us that. So that's where that attention really comes into, like, it's like at the all high. That is the highest thing, is to just pay attention. And with the vets, I do think that there is a place for veterinarian medicine, no doubt. Just like I think that there's a place for emergency services for people. If you break a bone and you don't know how to set a bone, well, you might want to go to a hospital and have someone help you with that, or go to somebody who knows how to do it. And I think the same thing is for pets. When you are in an emergency situation and you don't have the skills to do it or the equipment, you know, you are better off getting some help for sure. And with urinary stuff, you know, I'm glad we're going here, because I have quite a bit of experience with it, because Carl too, he had his own bouts with this. And I think a lot of it, what it comes down to is diet. And also though, before we go into that, because I do have opinions on the science diet, the prescription sort of foods and stuff, but territorial issues will come through as urinary bladder conditions. And that's even if you want to think about it on a level, it's like, how does an animal show their sense of territory? They pee, they spray. So since your cat was at your mother's house, it's kind of unfamiliar. Papa's gone. I don't really know who this woman is. Where am I? What's going on? His body's response to those feelings or emotions or that thing in his brain where he was like kind of in a new place was probably his bladder started overproducing urine even, or just
they had a cat at the time too.
And there you go. So it's like, oh my gosh, I have to really up my ante on marking my territory because whatever, there's another cat here. I don't know where I am. And so automatic response is going to be that that's going to go right to the bladder and then they're going to have that issue. That's what's going to manifest. That's in my experience. And even looking at that, you can apply that to people as well. So that emotional connection to our health that comes through really strong. And so that's something to really consider too. Like when you are having, if you have like multiple cats in a household, it's very common that you hear bladder issues come up. If there's all going in one box or whatever, if their litter box is in a strange place or it's in a noisy area that they don't have privacy, that can kind of spark these sorts of things too. Cleanliness is really a thing. Like if there's a box and it's really dirty, who wants to go into that? They don't. So they're probably going to go somewhere else. And then they might have some kind of urinary issue that comes from it. But these prescribed diets, I'm assuming, was it a dry kibble that they prescribed?
There was that version and there's a canned version. But I think I had like the option.
Okay. Well, that's good that they had the option because I know that a lot of times it will be prescribed as a dry food, which is kind of like the opposite of what they would need, especially during that time, because the dry foods really have a tendency to dehydrate them. And cats, first off, in general, they get most all of their moisture from their food because typically they're hunters. You know, they're going out and they're getting birds, they're getting mice, you know, they're giving love bites, all these things. And so it's like, if you are having something that's having to do with your bladder, you need more fluids moving through you. You need to be flushing this out if you can, you know? And so to think that they would prescribe a dry food always blows my mind. This has happened to my dad recently too, you know, and the cat that this happened to, unfortunately passed away, you know, and I don't know, I won't say it was necessarily from the bladder stuff because it had a couple of other issues, but it was almost like, it was kind of felt like a nail in the coffin, and the vet just gave them this food and it's very expensive, as you said. And I really kind of advised them to maybe think about something else. But at the end of the day, you can only try and influence people so much before it's up to them to do what they're going to do. And so I think a lot of people get caught in this trap with the vets and then feeling guilty and feeling like they have to follow what they say. But just like anything else, I just always say, you know, really do your own research and have your own pull. Stand strong in your own pull when you're in those offices and ask questions. Ask them if they are saying that, oh, it looks like we're going to need to do this, that, or the other thing, or they'll be great if we prescribe this medication. Ask them all the questions you can think of. Even if they're annoyed, who cares? It's your right to ask questions. And you're also, you know, doing your pet a solid by doing the same thing, you know?
Totally. I'm still thinking about a cat drinking tea that like, so did you just leave a saucer of tea out that's his size?
No, I like put it into his food. Like, just like you said, yeah, adding the water, adding moisture to food, great way to start, especially if they're already on dry kibble or something and you're wanting to transition them. You can add, you know, liquids like bone broth even is great. Nettle tea is what I started with Carl because nettle is wonderful in terms of just providing nutrition, but it also helps just with circulation. It helps with the blood. It is Mars energy. So if you are having any kind of stagnation or what have you, it's going to come in and kind of just like oomph, bring some power to all the systems to allow things to flow a little bit better. But the nutrients were always kind of one of my, my biggest things with him is making sure he's getting what he needs, you know? So nettle was a really good one. So I would just make nettle infusions, which is basically a high potency tea. And I would add a little bit, like a teaspoon or two to his food just to kind of incorporate it. And then if he was having acute situations, I would administer tea or herbal infusions orally, you know, with a needleless syringe, which is also an option. If you're having an acute situation, you know, that's something you can also do for a cat. Not all of them like having things shoved down their throats or whatever, but if they're not feeling well and you have to get them medicine, sometimes it's your best option to do that. And then using positive reinforcement afterward with some kind of treat or whatever always helps to allow them to, you know, be okay with it. And communicating with them like, hey, I'm doing this for your own good. Trust me on this one, you know, and it's going to be way better off in the end if you can do gentle things like teas and stuff like that for them.
I love it. That makes total sense. And I want to talk about communicating, not so much talking to them, but hearing how they speak to us or seeing, you know, having the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Because first of all, on their side of the communication, I think most people underestimate just how many English words and grammar that the pets understand. I think they have about as good a comprehension as a small child would have, which means pretty much total comprehension, unless it's something that they don't hear often, like a big word. But you had on Catherine O'Shea on The Healing Home, who I love. She's just amazing. And during that stream, my wife got Catherine to tune in and communicate with our dog Mango. And the very first thing Catherine says is like, I'm feeling like big water. And Mango, if you know that dog, first of all, he's a cancer and his son is in cancer. And he's pretty much only fully happy or satisfied in a day if he gets to get in water, like all the way in. It's his most important priority above all things, water. So the fact that just totally blind in the read, she psychically was immediately able to know that water was the first priority for him. I thought, that's just amazing. I've seen Catherine do it before, so it didn't surprise me other than just the surprise that is always accompanying such magic. It's really cool. That was a really fun episode. But I think it would be wise for us, like before we even talked more about specific remedies and things like that, to talk about what are ways that we can start to train ourselves in the language that they speak, in their behavior and in their physiology and things of that nature.
Yeah, great question. And yes, Catherine O'Shea is awesome. And I was so glad that Jenny was in the chat that night, because as soon as all that came through, and then I'm like, dude, this is awesome. This is exactly why I love this topic too, because it's so real and possible to do this, to understand and tune in. One of my things that I love, and I love this with people too, when it comes to herbalism and learning how to heal and going through these motions, is something I like to call story medicine. And I don't know if I've like heard that somewhere else or whatever, but I came up with that a year or so ago. I started thinking about it like our story is medicine. And the more we understand our own story, I feel like the better we are in general in life, and it can help us to have pattern recognition about ourselves, to see things that come up, see how we react to things and why we react to them. And I think we can do this with our pets. And I know that it's kind of hard to sometimes know the full story of some of our pets, especially if we've adopted a pet from a shelter or we found a pet somewhere or what have you. We may have not raised them from infancy, and that's okay. But I think that trying to find out as much as possible as you can about their story, whether that be from the person you purchased them from, the shelter you've purchased them from, or just tuning into them to notice their patterns. Because just like us, we react to things based on things that have happened to us, based on our experience in life, right? At least that's how I look at it. And cats do the same thing. Just like you said, your mom comes over and Gandalf's like, see ya. You know, because he's like, I remember that lady. I remember the smell and I remember what happened to me and I didn't like that. So right away, we know that's part of his story. As much as it sucked for him to go through that, and as much as it might not be nice that your mom can't give him pets, it's just like, well, now we know that about Gandalf. Now we know that that's a thing. So we can pay attention to these things. And when your mom does come around.
He holds a long grudge.
Yeah. And they typically do, man. And, you know, one of the things, too, it's like, so taking the story medicine into account with this specifically, because we talked about this experience, it's like, so when your mom comes over, you know, those days following, after your mom leaves, it's probably a good idea just to make sure you're extra attentive to Gandalf. Let's double check Gandalf's litter. Let's just make sure, even though he's probably good, but because he had that experience, he was reminded of that. Just like any trigger that comes to us that reminds us of something that wasn't super fun, you know, you got to check in with yourself and then ask those questions of like, okay, how am I dealing with this now? How is this going? And so those are the ways that we can do that. And I think that allowing them to be themselves and giving them the most comfortable environment is the best way to actually really learn more about them, in my opinion, too, because when they're comfortable, just like when we're comfortable, they're going to open up a little bit more. They're going to feel a little more vulnerable. They're going to show you little patterns about themselves. So my whole thing, I mean, as much I'm a kind of a crazy cat lady in my own sense, and I'm okay saying that. So I was very attentive to Carl. I knew his habits. He knew mine. He knew Mario's habits very well and vice versa. So, you know, I was very, just very attentive to him. Also because he was kind of what I call a special needs cat, because he needed to have, tinctures and teas a lot. You know, he would have flare ups of his asthma during seasonal changes. So that was always something that I paid attention to. And so I knew when spring was coming around, I was starting to get things ready, like nettle, as I talked about, having apple cider vinegar on hand, knowing that that can help if there's any kind of yeasty sort of allergic reactions on their paws or their skin. You can use diluted apple cider vinegar to help with those things. They can take that internally as well. You know, having these things around, like I knew that that was part of a story. So I would just be prepared, you know, and these are the things that we can do for our pets that will just really takes things to the next level for them, and just really paying attention and asking them questions and seeing how they react when you do ask them questions, offering them things, seeing what they like, seeing what they don't like, putting it into their story, and then allowing that to help you be almost like a roadmap for them and to just like help them move along in with the most grace they can, really.
Well, all this pretty much indicates that the pets have a biofield anatomy just like a human being, particularly the realizing that the urinary issues are often caused, or they flare up, around territorial problems. That's the root chakra. Just like in humans, whenever we have something going on with the energy of our root chakra, externally, it often reflects in us feeling unsafe or unsure about our home or the environment we're in. And that's the pathways of elimination, like urination. That's a root chakra system. So seems like the pets have a similar thing going on, and it's probably not even all that different. I think that they operate on the exact same spectrum of emotional frequencies that we do. And I think story does apply to them just as it applies to us. What they expect out of life, who they think they are, might be a little more simple of a question, but definitely the expectations. And so part of the healing process is giving them a different expectation about their daily life, and the attentiveness and the responsiveness is probably something that gives them a different expectation about life. Once they feel like, hey, I'm not just hearing my human is hearing me. But with that, do you think this is a good time to talk about the six wings of homeostasis?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Should I bring up that image?
Yeah, bring up that image. So what we're going to go into right now is something known as the six tissue states. And also it can be known as the six tissue states and herbal actions. You might find it under if you search this, which I highly recommend people looking into this. I first learned this modality through Matthew Wood, who is an herbalist I really respect and look up to a lot. I've learned so many things from him. So this category of healing, I guess, or categorization of what our bodies communicate comes from kind of the same school of thought as Ayurveda with the three doshas, the humors, you know, coming from like more of the Roman history of medicine. There's also like a Celtic way of looking at this as well. But this is kind of more of the more modern Western herbalist way of looking at something from more of a symbolic perspective and in a situation where you can't maybe communicate what's going on, typically with an animal. Okay. That's why to me, this is a really awesome key thing to understand when you're working with animals specifically, because like I said, they can't tell you, hey, my lungs hurt. Hey, I'm feeling this way or whatever it is. They can't tell you, but their bodies can tell you, their actions can tell you. And the way that they are just moving and acting in the world can tell you. And that's where this comes up in. So as you see, we have a six-pointed star here, and it is the six tissue states, which are hot and cold, damp and dry, tense and lax. And now you also go off of the metabolism, which is associated with the hot and cold. And typically this is like also looked at as an overactive or underactive, which goes along with the temperatures as well. So, you know, overactive on the hot side would look like allergies or inflammation. We can even go as far as saying like anxiety. So just to use a comparison of how you would match a remedy to this, you would want something that's cooling and calming and maybe astringent because you're working with a hot condition. So, you know, you're working with the power of the opposites here as well, which I think is also really beautiful too, because the goal with this model of healing is just to come back to have a balance, come back to homeostasis, as you see in the center of this graph. And that's why it's so cool, because that's what you're really working with. You're kind of working with a teeter-totter. You're experimenting. You're seeing what goes on and how your body reacts to stuff. And then we move to the moisture aspect, which is damp and dry. And this can come through in a lot of ways. You know, your tissues, if you're having stagnation, tissues become spongy, maybe. You know, you might be puffy. Your animal might look puffy. They might have a swollen limb, and it might not be because they hurt their bone or something. There might be some blockage that's going on. So we're going to look at things that are going to be a little bit more stimulating and bitter or aromatic when we're working with a damp condition, so that we can actually maybe help the body to just start the process of flushing things out and drying things out in the way that it does through the channels of elimination. And then we move over to the tone, which is tense and lax. And so, you know, it kind of goes without explanation of what that might look like. And this can be on an emotional level. It can be on a body level. It can be on an organ level. So like if you're looking at something like lax tissue, that could be organ prolapse. You know, it could be a muscle that something happened, a dislocation. You know, tense can come through in muscles as well, but it can also come through in holding tension in the jaw, holding tension in your heart, in your emotional state. And when you have this as a little bit of a roadmap and you can apply it to an animal, it really, really, really helps. And that's what I started applying with Carl a little bit more, because I would look at his condition and I would listen to his asthma attacks or something, or I would listen to the congestion in his chest when I knew that there was more of a boggy cough. You know, I was then looking for something that was going to help clear this up with warmth and something that was maybe a little bitter or aromatic or astringent, like an herb like elecampane, you know, so which is also a lung remedy, but it also has all of those other properties that we're talking about, the bitterness and the aromatics.
Okay, so what are some ways that, other than their behavior, like tense and lax, I think you can kind of see that they're all bunched up all the time versus just a blob that never does much. You know, you might be able to guess where they fall on the tense to lax spectrum, but I don't know about getting a cat to let you use a thermometer on them. How are some of the ways that you might, other ways you might be able to read damp or dry or hot or cold or tense or lax in the pet's behavior or, you know, in something they're presenting?
Yeah, great question. Something like the hot or, you know, excess heat, a lot of times you can monitor that through their ears, like feeling their earlobes. And a lot of times too, if there is some sort of possible like infection or whatever is going on, the ears will heat up. And this goes for a dog too, because they may be producing a fever, you know. There might be excessive panting. Cats and dogs both pant if they're, you know, overheated or if they're dehydrated. It's kind of a response. And dogs pant more than cats. Cats have to be in a pretty extreme situation of dehydration and overheating to be panting. So if that's something going on, that is weighing more on an emergency situation, in my opinion, which you may need intervention at that point if you're not equipped to help them in that sense. So that's definitely something that I look for in that. The other thing with animals that's a good indicator would be the lymph nodes. And you can feel, you know, they have lymph nodes just like we do. And like a damp condition can sometimes come through as like hard lymph nodes even. You know, everybody, I'm sure, has experienced having a head cold and they have swollen lymph nodes in their neck or whatever, you know, and you can feel that hardness there. Usually an indication that there's something that's stuck there. So there's these sorts of things that we can do, and starting to research the anatomy of your cat or your dog and finding out where these lymph nodes are on their bodies, and you can kind of be giving them actually more of like a physical exam in that sense. And I think like that's a really good way to start looking at these signs and figuring these things out, you know?
So I know you have more experience working with cats because of caring for Carl so closely, but in terms of maybe a specific remedy, we already brought up our dog Mango. Mango, I think, might be on the tense side. Because even whenever everybody else is winding down, he has trouble relaxing. You know, he jumps on and off the bed many times throughout the night. When he's like, he doesn't seem to be very good at meditating. I mean, he is a dog, but his breaths are typically very panty, like super rapid breathing, super shallow breathing. And sometimes I can kind of verbally get him to calm down a little bit, but just in baseline situations, it's like he's always kind of jacked up to 11 on the rapidity of panting. So with that, it sounds like it's more of a tense thing. Maybe even he's a little hot because he has that type of coat where he's just generally going to be warmer. So maybe that's partially a factor, because dogs don't have the same ability to get rid of heat as we do. Panting is maybe part of that for them. But what are, what's an idea for, I can't send him to a Vipassana retreat. How can I get him to potentially relax a little bit and maybe his breathing take a longer breaths and more relaxed breathing? Is that something that you would be able to do herbally?
Oh, definitely. I have a couple things coming to me with this one. The first thing that comes to my mind is lemon balm. And I think that lemon balm, I know, is 100% safe for pets and dogs and cats. And this is a really great one to start with because it's really calming to the system. And most people out there might know lemon balm is really wonderful for people as well in this aspect, with like an overactive mind, helping you to focus a little little bit more. So when you find yourself being anxious, you probably typically are outward thinking ahead, projecting, you know, that's what comes with anxiety, you know, and a pet might be doing that too. Maybe they're just like, oh boy, I hope they don't leave. Oh boy, what's happening? Oh boy, you know? And so it's just like this constant, just
that's a dog. Yeah.
Yeah. What's coming through? What's going to be coming down the pipeline? Where are they? What room are they in? I want to be next to them, you know, whatever. And Lemon Balm, just seriously, such a classic, such an easily attainable plant to be given as a tea, but also as a tincture. The other thing that comes to mind is something called Rescue Remedy. You may have heard of this. It's a flower essence. This is another topic that I wanted to breach today, is flower essences and using them with our pets, because they're super gentle. They're very subtle. They can be very effective, and they're very safe on many levels, but it's vibration medicine. And I know you, my man Chance, probably could be doing some tuning fork work with Mango. And I would love to even pick your brain and find out if you have used frequencies and tuning forks with your animals, because that's not something that I have done, but I do know that there's no way it couldn't be effective for them. And there's also things like acupuncture, acupressure, you know, learning acupressure points on our animals and holding those points, pulsing them as you would on your own body, and really like paying attention to these areas where, you know, that might there that, you know, where you could actually help with anxiety or calming them down, just like with us too. They have the same sort of things and systems going on that we can tap into.
Well, I do occasionally try forking pets, but they don't pay very well. So
I can see that.
I'm just kidding. Now that's something I haven't experimented with a ton, though. It's like, I'm sure you know the feeling once you have something that you figured out and established, you know that it works, and maybe it's something you do kind of as a profession, you often forget to employ it in your downtime. I have to remind myself all the time, like, use the forks, Chance. I hear Obi-Wan's voice in my head. Get it? Can you talk more about the flower essences question?
Yeah.
You know, you wanted to broach that. That seems like as fine a time as any.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the flower essences are great, and homeopathy. That's how I like to introduce it, is through homeopathy, because more people are usually familiar with homeopathy, which is basically the practice of medicine where you're using highly diluted remedies that are made from all sorts of things. I mean, there's all sorts of remedies that are made using even certain tissues, using plants, using crystals, using flowers. You know, there's a whole world of homeopathy, which I don't claim to know like a ton about, but I know enough that I've used it plenty with myself and pets and have seen really great results with it. And flower essences kind of fall into this category, in my opinion, because although homeopathy has its own way of working with things, and it kind of goes back to the six tissue states of like working with the opposites typically. But flower essences, in my opinion, have such a unique medicine that they bring, because there is this vibrational thing that happens. And I am a believer that our emotions and our experience in life dictate a lot of what happens to us on the physical level when it comes to ailments. And I think the same thing is the case for animals. Yeah, totally. I would definitely go as far as to say that. And that it's just like, dude, these experiences, how we look at the world and how we react has such a huge part in what pops up for us physically, whether it's a pimple or it's a head cold or it's something more serious. There was probably something going on in your sphere that had you thinking, had you reacting, had you doing something that is now manifesting as something physical, which typically once it gets to the physical level is usually more of a good thing, because it's usually a sign, in my opinion, that you've resolved whatever it is. So something is like manifesting up into the physical to kind of be pushed out. And that's where the flower essences come in handy in so many ways. And there is a line of homeopathics and flower essence made specifically for pets called Homeopet. And I highly recommend them. I use them a lot with Carl. They have remedies for all sorts of things, you know, UTIs, lungs, cough, anxiety, you name it. They have a whole line of these essences that they make, and you can literally just drop them into their food or you can drop them into their water. And I noticed a lot of improvement with specifically the congestion and using it for that when it came to the homeopathics and the flower essences. So a flower essence too, just to give a very basic introductory level of what you're working with, if you're not familiar with them, is that you're taking some distilled water in a glass bowl and you are going to pluck the flowers from the chosen plant you're working with. So let's say it's lilac. Okay. So you take your glass bowl of distilled water on a nice sunny day, you pluck your lilac flowers and you float them right on top of that water. What you're basically doing is you're taking in the essence and the vibration of not only the sun, but of that flower. And you're allowing that to be in the water there. And you can let it sit for a few hours. You remove the flowers and then you have just your water that you're going to preserve with an alcohol. So you're going to take that. So let's say you have 2 ounces of flower essence. You're going to take 2 ounces of 100 proof vodka or brandy and combine that. Now you have like a mother essence, what that's called. Then you dilute that further, you know? So you're going to take that and you're going to put that into a 1 ounce. You're going to take a 1 ounce bottle, fill it halfway with alcohol, halfway with your flower essence. And then from that bottle, you dilute it further into another dropper, which you practice the same thing with the 50-50 of alcohol and distilled water, and then literally just drops of that dosage bottle. And then that third bottle is what you're going to be administering. And you can use as many drops as you feel is necessary. I say start with something like 2 drops and go from there and notice what's just check in. What do you notice? Is there any change? You can administer it orally directly, or you can put it into food or water, as I said earlier. And I've seen really great results. Personally, when I've used flower essences, depending on what's going on, depending on the flower essence, depending on the ailment or the emotion I'm working with, I've taken 1 drop of rose flower essences and bawled my eyes out and gone, oh my God, rose is bringing something up to the surface that I needed to see, that I was holding an emotion. And here comes Rose, and she's like, well, let's work that out. And the same thing kind of can happen too. A lot of times, sometimes when you administer something, a condition may worsen. So that's something to keep in mind, to not get too freaked out if you administer something and then all of a sudden your cat or dog is like it just like gets a little worse for a second. Hold strong and continue the protocol that you're choosing and give it a day or two, and don't get too overly concerned unless something like really takes a turn for the worse. Obviously pay attention, but that can sometimes happen, specifically with the flower essences, that things will get worse before they just rapidly improve. And then all of a sudden, oh, okay, they're not having that issue anymore. You know?
Totally. It's gotta sometimes hurt to heal a lot of times.
Yes.
Recently received some polarity therapy from Topher,
our buddy
Christopher Gardner. You know, you think that he has a lot of skills and knowledge and expertise, and then you have him physically work on your body and you're like, oh, this is his actual like wheelhouse. It was amazing. I'd love to learn some of the things that he knows about because, you know, this would apply to pets too. Touching one part of the body and touching another part of the body with specifically the left hand and the right hand to create an electrical circuit to bring witness to something that the body is trying to cause to flow. And when he worked on me, the places that my body was needing some witness and needing some flow improvement were correlate in the biofield to places that you might repress and not even know you feel it, the emotion of anger, which has always been probably a top challenge for me. Long ago decided I wanted to be a nice guy and I didn't like angry people and angry people suck and all that. And I've gotten much better at allowing that spectrum of energy to exist in me, because I now know, at least intellectually, that that's part of the very essence of what allows you to be assertive in a healthy way or aggressive when necessary. It's not, there's no part of our spectrum of emotions that are bad. And when we rule out one polarity of it, we're also affecting the other polarity of it. Just like repressing sadness and grief limits the ability to feel joy. Same thing. So he did this work on me. And then within the probably a day or two, like the window of physically integrating the energy shifts, because the body takes a little while to catch up, I had an external life situation kind of come out of the blue that was, there's no other way to put it. Like, it was annoying to the point of infuriating. like I really had to feel some anger. And I very quickly realized, oh, this is coming up because there needed to be an outlet and a narrative reason why I feel these emotions that are really old emotions that were repressed. I need to just feel them, express them to the right person in the right place, resolve the situation gracefully, move on. And I had so much more energy since then to get stuff done. The mystery of time, man, I felt like, you know what it's like that you go through some kind of healing and all of a sudden the time between noon and 5 p.m. actually feels like 5 hours again, when before it was like, I only got an hour between noon and five. You know what I mean?
Oh, like yeah.
Yeah. The time compression thing. That's part of it. It's time is so, that's why I brought up time at the beginning of this conversation, because it's not what we think it is. And it behooves us to start conceiving of it differently for these reasons. But anyway, what you're talking about with the healing crisis that's possible, that makes sense for pets. And I wonder if even that could happen with stuff that happens to them or that they encounter, you know, interactions they have, not just physical symptoms and expressions of the body. It's probably a little harder to gauge, but the real question that I wanted to get to through all this meandering is, for a multi-pet home, does the homeopathic medicine, like say you administered it to the communal water, would that work for the pet that needs it, but would it rock the boat for the other pets that maybe don't have that need? Because it is so subtle. It's such a subtle medicine.
That's a really great question. You know, I wonder, I don't know 100%, but from my intuition, I almost feel like it would help the other pets. It would help the pet that is specifically in need. And I don't know if it would necessarily like rock the boat on the other pet. It may even do nothing. It may be like, oh, that was like, I didn't even notice a difference or whatever. Or it also could, this is just what's coming to me. It could bring something up that was being suppressed that you didn't know. So that's maybe something to think about as well. I'm not 100% sure because I don't have experience with it, but what comes to me are those things in general. And so I think too, because it's such a safe way to administer medicine to them, that I don't think it would cause much harm really if a pet got it that didn't need it or something like that, you know?
I agree. I think the nature of homeopathy with the water dilution, water is memory and consciousness. Like, it's the symbol of that in the realm other than sunlight. And basically, just like in your own human experience, bringing witness to an area that needs witness helps heal that area. That's what causes energy to flow. But putting your attention where energy is already flowing and there's already been witness, it just continues to flow and continues to receive witness. So in the same way, the homeopathic application for the pet, it might put some witness somewhere where it needs it, or it might just keep things going the way they were going because they were already flowing. And that's my intuitive understanding of it as well. But wow, the time's flying, and we really ought to give our first hour kind of wrap up and let people know where they can find your work and what you're excited about sharing, and all the ways that they can connect with you, and maybe tease a little bit about what we have left on the docket for part two.
Yes. Well, thank you, Chance, again for having me, because this is so fun and I'm honored to be on Interverse. It's so cool. And I love talking about this stuff. So this is awesome. Michelle'sHealingHome.com is where you can find me and my offerings. I will say that if you're not going to be joining us for the second hour, we are going to go more into, you know, like common ailments that come up and remedies that can be used, maybe some food and water elements. So we're going to go into that. But if you won't be joining us for that, you can check out my ebook where I go into depth of recipes and specific plants and remedies you can be using. You can find that on my website. It is $11 to download. It's my first ebook. I'm actively revising it as well right now. So there will be a revised version coming out within the next handful of months. But yeah, I mean, I just say, if you are on the fence about starting to apply herbs and remedies to your pet, just hop over the fence and start, because they will thank you, and you will be thankful that you did it, because it is such an economical way as well to deal with common ailments that might pop up for your pets, just to be keeping them healthy just as you would do for yourself. And they will thank you so much. And also, I recommend just the herbs that you decide to work with, learn them well yourself. So if you start to research plants that are good for cats or dogs, like really dive in, you know, dive into what you can learn about the plant yourself, maybe try it on yourself too. And so you can be having that connection made with your cat. If you decide to bring in lemon balm for your dog, you know, maybe you start taking lemon balm too. And then you can all be taking lemon balm, and you can really be vibing with that energy, and then seeing how it affects each other. Because how many times do our animals reflect us, and we're a reflection of our animals, vice versa? So like, if we're anxious, we're not feeling right, things are going crazy or whatever, they're going to pick up on that. And that's a big thing too, you know, that we'll probably talk about more in the second hour, of just like, what affects you affects them. And that is crucial to understand. Even if it's not your animals, knowing how your energy, what you put out, affects everything and everyone around you. So it's just another part of being aware in life, you know? So yes, very important.
I love that you went there, because I have thoughts about that too, that I definitely want to probe all that in the second part. So I'm really excited, and particularly want to emphasize what you said about researching. I'm talking to myself right now, you know, Chance, this is your own advice. Listen to your own advice. But as our mutual friend Kyle talks about, the great Kyle Denton, Tippecanoe Herbs, use the Interverse coupon code for 10% off at tippecanoeherbs.com.
Do it.
He talks about learning just one plant at a time, spending like a whole week with just the one plant. And with all the possibilities in the kingdom of flora, there's occasionally, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed, like, oh, I can't, it's a huge mountain to climb. But taking on just one at a time and making that your focus, and just learning about that one, consider it taking bite-sized pieces out of the project. And it's better with medicine, especially subtle medicine anyway, to do one thing at a time so that you can see what's actually affecting what, rather than throwing the kitchen sink at it and not knowing what was actually helpful or what was actually detrimental. So, you know, part of the advantage of starting now, even before there might be signs of distress or major problems, is that you're already many steps up the mountain path by the time your pet is also aged a bit and maybe exhibiting a more specific and particular need. So I'm really glad we're having this conversation. Just feels right now. And I'm looking forward to part two, Michelle. Thank you so much for being here. Please, everybody, don't miss out. Michelle's Healing Home, awesome podcast. Lots of diverse topics. You'll get herbalism. You'll get Bigfoot. You never know.
It's true. You're really learning who I really am through that podcast. Yes.
I love that. Yeah. So we'll see everybody on the second hour. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, everybody.
How about that one, everybody? The great Michelle Lundquist. How can you not love her? She's really stepping into the authority that is just so natural to a person with the Capricornian aspects that I'm pretty sure she has. I could be wrong about that, but this, I knew I wanted to have this talk because I just really appreciate Michelle as a teacher. And whether it's learning about pets or learning about how herbs and things interact with humans, it's kind of the same thing. We're learning about solutions and we're learning about communication between ourselves and our bodies, between our pets and ourselves. And as this conversation unfolded, it became more and more clear to me how incredibly close to our core our pets are, like closer than family members that are outside of living in our immediate home. They are so profoundly integral to our psyche that think about just the percentage of time that your awareness and your perception contains one of your pets, that they're somewhere in your sphere. They're like little spiritual attachments, but in a good way. It's pretty amazing. And also, I really enjoyed being able to follow the thread and link the thread to the topic of pet care about, you know, this bigger theme of no longer putting problems off for future self to deal with. Like, don't sell your future self out, but invest in your future self. I think that that concept came through really nicely. I have had thoughts about this subject just arising naturally in myself because I may seem a certain level of put together, or maybe not for you guys, being that you just see the curated version of me that goes on the screen, right? Like, you guys have a character in your mind of who I am that's only a part of who I am. You know, we all have our private life, we all have our personal life and connections, and we all have things that we filter out that we really should be paying attention to, and things that we put off for future self. I'm not immune to that, but I am really thinking about that. And this conversation was a good anchor for me to double my resolve to really capitalize on this current explosion of energy in the realm that springtime is. I've also had the time concept on my mind because been going through the Dune series, and there's lots of non-linear time experience that you can get out of that particular narrative, not just the first book, but the further books. And we watched, on Topher's recommendation, we watched this movie Arrival, which was all about language and time and how our experience of time may be directly connected to our language and its structure and how it's formed. So with all that, it really popped off for me, like, hey, the future, you're going to feel how you feel now. If you keep doing what you're doing now, then how you feel right now will continue. Like, it's so simple, but how could you ever expect, like, the lie we tell ourselves about in the future, I will solve this, or in the future, this will be better, but not right now. I don't have time for it right now, or I'm not going to mess with it right now, or I just don't want to right now. How could you ever believe that lie when you get honest with yourself about just the logic of it? Your future self is going to feel exactly how your current self feels, or is going to feel just a progressed version of the path you're on right now. So there's really no separation. The future is now, as they say. I hope you guys are getting it. This was profound for me, like profound. Oh my God, there is no future. There's just right now. However many ways that epiphany is possible to have, I don't know, because I've had it in a lot of different ways, but I'm having it again right now. I'm remembering it right now, and it's a big deal. All this conversation with Michelle helped me fully solidify that epiphany and hopefully share it with you. It's why I do what I do, is so that these little gems don't just get lost in the ether of my own thoughts, and the guests can share theirs as well. And Michelle is just a total crusher. I loved this talk. And if you want to get part two, you can get that on Patreon or on Rockfin, linked in the show notes, or you can do my new membership option through YouTube, which I think is fun because that means you have access to, you know, I love the people that show up on YouTube because they get to live chat with each other. It's got the most community feel, even beyond Telegram. what happens during the lives or the premieres. So if that's something you haven't dipped your toes into yet, you also get the content sooner on YouTube because usually there's a bit of a delay between when I do something, because it starts as a video, and when I can put it out to the RSS feed. So that's to be considered as well. But in the second hour, which is exclusive to the people that support me, you can get more pet talk about, especially the question of how our pets mirror us and how we mirror them. I brought up an example of a way that one of my pets has been communicating with me and what I can do about that, how I can respond responsibly, how I can listen. It's this guy right here, Tookie. Can he come on screen? Yeah, there he is. Look how handsome this guy is. I love this kitty. Peregrine Took. Pippin, fool of a Took. He's a perfect kitty. So sweet. And usually they're not allowed in the room while I'm podcasting, but today they got to make an appearance. So we got into the mirroring thing in the Plus extension. We talked about pet probiotics and digestive help. Talked about using Comfrey for kitties or dogs. The importance of the on again, off again alternation with pet medicines or with ourselves. All of it, that's the mirror. It all applies to us too when we're doing holistic stuff. We discussed dealing with fleas and ticks in a natural way, what types of plants and diffused essential oils are not great for pets. And that's a fun way to learn this stuff is the thou shalt nots is a much shorter list of thou shalt than thou shalt. You know, we have a lot of freedom here and it's easier to circumnavigate the boundaries of what's good and bad with this type of stuff by just knowing what's wrong. That's a much smaller quantity of stuff. We discussed pet nutrition and mushrooms and CBD for pets too. All really good stuff. So if this is a topic that's near and dear to your heart, maybe it's the one to sign up for. And hey, it's not just the Plus extensions to Interverse that it opens the door for. I'm also doing a brand new show, Inner World, which you've probably seen a preview for by now, at least. But Dylan Sicoccio and I are doing a members-only show. You can also support him alternately on his Substack and get access to it. But it's Spirit World versus Spirit World plus Interverse, and it is awesome. We actually just wrapped up episode 2 of that, talking about the Pelagians and the Holy Sailors who spread the system of language and letters around the Mediterranean and maybe other parts of the world too. Really good talk, really deep research. It's the creme de la creme, building on his books. If they're something you've read or if you listen to my audiobook version of it, this is like the expanded version. We're given our updated thoughts and having epiphanies on the fly. It's really good. It's peak Dylan Sicoccio. It's the best. And I think I'm not too shabby either. I feel like I'm bringing a lot to the equation at this point. So that's fun. Hope you guys check that out. It's such an easy price of admission, only $5 on Patreon. I mean, that's like nothing these days. What are you waiting for? I also wanted to encourage people that, especially with the holistic health questions, that Telegram is way better than a Google search. So for example, there's an Interverse Telegram chat. It's linked in every episode description. And I don't think it was last summer. I think it was earlier than that, like the year before. Wow, we've been doing this a while. I was out with my dog and we both got a bunch of seed ticks, or what are more commonly around here called chiggers. So they're just tiny little like larval form of ticks. They burrow into your skin and they're these little irritated, itchy bumps and you can't get them off the way you can get off a bigger tick. And I wanted to know how to deal with that. So I foolishly first Google searched it and all the Google answers were like, oh, you know, just use poison, just poison yourself or apply poison to your skin and et cetera. You'll be fine. And that's not the way I wanted to do it, obviously. So I dropped the question into my own Telegram chat. What can I do about these seed ticks? And Michelle, a lot of other people answered too, but Michelle's right there with an answer about using witch hazel and bentonite clay combined and applied that to the skin and let that dry on and then peel that off. And it took a few applications, but it got rid of the bastards. I was good to go and I was not poisoned, and it applied for my dog as well. So there's always solutions, but the gatekeepers of the search engines, they don't always make them easy to find. That's why it's so important that we have these community spaces. And never, even if it seems like it's not a super active conversational space, never doubt the synchronicity that if you have a pertinent question that really matters to your life and you drop it into this chat, or, you know, Michelle's Healing Home chat, or the Gnostic Academy chat, or any of the affiliated groups, right? People that I'm friends with and collaborate with. Never doubt that the synchronicity of the right person at the right time, seeing your question and giving you exactly the answer that you were intending or looking for. Guess what? I'm here to tell you it will happen. I promise. I'm not even going to put any qualifiers or limiters on that. It'll happen. It will. So if you're not using that resource, you don't have to be in there and reading every message. You don't have to keep up with it all. I get that that can be taxing, but just treat it like a search engine. Just be connected to that stream and maybe check in every once in a while. Maybe you're the one who just happens to be there at the right time to give the right answer to somebody who could use it. Wow, I feel like I'm really selling it. I hope to see you in there. And Michelle, when we finished the recording, she also told me about a book that you guys might like if this topic interests you, called Veterinary Secrets, Natural Health for Dogs and Cats. And the author of this book was stripped of his veterinary license, so he must be a crusher. Michelle gave a lot of reasons why this was the book, and I like it. Just one and done, you know, rather than bogging you down with a lot of options. If you want more, go to that source, or get Michelle's ebook. That's a good option too. Maybe do that first, actually, because we want to support Michelle. She's got a Patreon, you know, even if you just want to throw her some appreciation for a month. She put a lot of heart and soul into the information she shared here with us in this episode. And I just love her. She's a great friend. What else is there to remind you guys of? Oh, on the Spirit World Dylan Sicoccio front, I've also got a brand new audiobook, the sixth, possibly the last of the Spirit World series. I don't know if he's going to continue that with that title, Spirit World, but Terminalia is the name of the book. It's about how the Europeans encountered the indigenous Americans and what was covered up and why, and how the fingerprints of the universal priesthood system are evident in what the Spaniards encountered here. It's a great foray into the farrago of history and myth. And the audiobook, narrated by yours truly, it ain't half bad. I put a lot of work into it. I mean, pronouncing all of those funny words right, it's no joke. And Dylan makes sure to get them right. He's cracking the whip. So check that out. That's going to be linked in the show notes as well. Great way to support me and Dylan and yourself. Most importantly, it's all part of doing the work so that you can't be fooled by this stuff anymore. You know it when you see it. The fingerprints of the universal system are also the hallmarks of universal truth, because what you'll notice is you'll start getting the synchronicity of seeing aspects of this system expressed in life and nature and through people in ways that there's no way anybody did that on purpose or planned it. And then you're starting to have the gauge for, like, well, what is real? Who am I? What is life? All good stuff. So other than that, there's tons of ways to support the show. Of course, you can go to innerversemerch.com. You can donate on Cash App directly if you want to go nuts. Chance Garten, $Chance Garten. You can buy from Clive DeCarl. Great supplements from him. Vitamin C, magnesium. Those are the ones I recommend using my link. There's also the Aqua Cure, using Innerverse as a coupon code for a discount there. I love my Aqua Cure. And I've got a new affiliate link. You guys may have heard my Vibrant, most recent Vibrant with Isaac Lazell. What a good kid. I loved that one. Go back and check that out. If you skipped it because you're like, Oregonite, just go back to it. The vibe is incredible. It's such a good vibe. His website is oregon-ite.com. And by now there should be an Innerverse coupon code available for that too. So I think that's all I got for you. It's been a fun one. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit and the appreciation for my cats and dogs in a whole new way, realizing how close they really are to my innermost core. And I know a lot of you out there have the same thing going on, and you're feeling that same surge of love and appreciation for your four-leggeds. So glad we can share in that together in this moment. And just thanks for tuning in. You guys are the elite of the elite to be here in this stream of consciousness called Innerverse. So be good. Love you guys. Till next time.